Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Amadeus Ravenclaw Shepherd.
And I'm Director Stolte. That is my real name.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you have all been cleared to know the truth. And Director Stolte, this really was a dramatic hour-long mission here.
I would say more emotional than dramatic.
Yeah.
It was.
I promised myself I wasn't going to cry. I was surprised at actually how emotional it got, because when I saw the commercials for it and we started watching the episode, it seemed like what would be called a bottle show. Are you familiar with that terminology?
Do you mean like when they were drinking at the end? Is that what you...
No, it's slightly different than that. So a bottle show is usually a show that takes place in like a main location without a lot of guest stars. Usually done to save money. So for like a Star Trek episode, it would only take place on the Enterprise, on sets they've already built, so they don't have to build anything new for the episode, right?
Save money. Gotcha.
Don't hire any new extras. It's all, well, you hire maybe a couple people, but it's, you know, somebody comes onto the ship and does something, or it's somebody already on the ship, or, you know, Chekhov goes crazy or whatever.
So every other episode.
Yeah. So that's kind of what it started to feel like. Now, granted, you know, it still had that kind of global feel to it because they were in Russia and everything. But if you noticed, it was really limited to just the main cast. They got rid of all the Inhumans. Well, I mean, you know, not got rid of, but didn't have any of the normal cast of Inhuman guests, you know, Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Or Joey or any of those people. And you just had we had our one main bad guy, not even Ward, not Mr. Guerra, not old Medusa Eyes. And they kind of limited it, you know, in those aspects. And so that kind of tipped me off that something was up early, I think, for this particular episode.
Yeah, I mean, I had some thoughts like that, although they went much, much further than I expected them to. And they did it in a way that I thought was not just respectful, but very, you know, in a way that honored, I think, both Bobby and Hunter, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one to watch, kind of a standalone one that definitely had a purpose, but... we'll get into all that, I'm sure. So
yeah, and it didn't feel like fan service to me. I mean,
oh, you know, no,
sometimes
I don't think
where so. They, you know, they send off a character and you're like, oh, you know, they're just doing this to kind of, you know, make the fans excited or something like that. And I felt there was a different purpose with that. But you're right. We'll get into all this in just a little bit. So before we do all that and we have a little bit of news here as well, why don't you give us our little brief on this particular episode?
All right. Well, let's figure out what all this is about. Episode 13 from Season 3, Parting Shot, aired March 22nd, 2016, written by Paul Zabuski and directed by Michael Zinberg. Okay, well, Dobro pozhovolet v sibir. Tam net nyob kodi mosti zavat minye liu biai voprosi. Ya prishul zdavzibi. Zaburat Gribi.
Hang on, I'm just going to turn on Google Translate here so we can get the rest of this. It sounds a little odd. Okay, I think we're all set here.
Do you have, is it a little more clear?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sounding good?
Oh, man, now you sound like you're in English. That's great.
Okay, all right. Well, I should be able to continue if you can understand that now. Well, anyway, after stowing away on Gideon Malik's plane, Bobby and Hunter find themselves in Siberia. They track the secretive meeting to a facility where Anton Petrov and his allies are planning on keeping Inhumans for, quote, their own protection.
Oh, yeah, they totally need it.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, it seems the Russian prime minister does not agree with this plan. So General Androvich, an Inhuman with the power to control his own shadow, nicknamed Peter Pan, is tasked to kill him. That's not – I should have translated Peter Pan into Russian. I wonder what that is. But our shield heroes leap into action and manage to save the day once again. But it comes at a cost. Bobby and Hunter caught by Interpol and accused of murder. Despite all the evidence to show that they were the good guys, the best Coulson can do is to have them disavowed. So, it's time to order some cheeseburgers and some shots. Say bye-bye to Bobby and Hunter as the team changes once again.
Oh, my God. Woo. It's dusty in here, man.
I was cutting some onions in the back for that cheeseburger. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that was good. Your accent, are you part Russian? That was very good.
I'm late a lot, and that's about as Russian as I get.
All right, we've got a little bit of news this week. The impetus for this particular episode, of course, appears to be setting up for Marvel's Most Wanted, a TV show that is having a pilot shot presently, and I don't think they've gotten a series order yet, but I think everybody kind of just assumes that they are going to have a series order. I mean, if they've done this...
Well, they're hoping,
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if they've done all the setup for S.H.I.E.L.D. here, the fact that, you know, if they're doing it without a series order and hoping to get one, then, you know, that seems kind of weird. But Marvel's Most Wanted, or Most Wanted, because, you know, technically this is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so, gets two new cast members announced, and I am very excited about this. The first one is Oded Fehr, and he is probably best known as Ardeth Bay from the Mummy movies, the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies. He was my number one pick for Doctor Strange. I would have loved to have seen him play Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he looks like Doctor Strange, doesn't he?
I know. Well, I mean, Doctor Strange, technically he's a white guy, but, you know, they could have gone with a person of color, you know, a slightly different ethnicity, because nothing says Doctor Strange has to be a white American. Well, technically he's a white British guy, you know, in this with Benedict Cumberbatch, but... I think Oded Fehr is an excellent actor, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him on a weekly television show. And then also joining the cast is a female actress that I am not familiar with, Fernanda Andrade. So I don't know if she's supposed to be Russian in the show. They don't say what either of these two actors are playing or what characters they're playing, but...
Okay.
I would assume it's for the pilot at this point. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably all they have at this point. I mean, they've got probably stories written, but I bet they haven't filmed anything but initial pilot stuff.
Right. If they haven't been picked up, they probably would not spend the money to shoot anything else. But you're right. They might be writing stuff. So.
Well, so Fernanda Andrade is from Brazil, huh?
Oh,
and
okay.
She's been in a few movies, The Devil Inside, and I haven't seen that. And another one coming out, The Beautiful Bones, that's this year, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I haven't heard of her, but she's been in a few things and on TV as well.
Okay. So, and then most recently here, really, really recent, right as we record here, we found out that Hydra is now down one senator. Actor Gary Shandling, who portrayed... I can't remember his character's name from Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and the Iron Man films, but he was a senator that we found out was in the pocket of Hydra. He's passed away at age 66. So,
oh, Man, you know, normally I would be happy about Hydra losing one of theirs.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this case, no, I'm very sad to hear that. Man, Gary Shandling, he was a funny guy.
Funny guy. Yep. Wish his family all the best, and hope they can get over their grief soon enough. All right. Why don't we talk a little bit about Parting Shot here, this week's episode, episode 13. So just as a definition, some people may be aware that the term parting shot is a English phrase here. It means usually a final remark, typically a cutting one made by someone at the moment of their departure. And usually it's like it says here, it's a cutting remark, something that's usually kind of nasty, or passive aggressive in some fashion.
Yeah, like when we hang up each time we record a show, like when you'd say something to me, that kind of thing.
Like, see more butts. Right. So I, you know, the first thing I kind of thought about was basically, well, that's kind of Hunter. That's kind of his MO. And then I was like, well, actually, he kind of does it all the time, doesn't he? I mean, he's always kind of just being jokey and acerbic to various different characters on the show. But
that's inhuman power right there. See, that's when he had the fish oil, he got sarcastic.
But he didn't realize that's what it was, because it just kind of enhanced his normal
jerkiness
or something like that. So
clever. He used a lot of that during the interrogation. I felt, you know, that clever repertoire, or no, that's not what you call it, but you know what I'm saying.
Repartee.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I know it had some repar in it.
You were getting there. and who knew he was such a mushroom aficionado as well?
I was hungry for soup when he was done.
I kind of was, I guess upset would be the word, but we were finding out some interesting things about the characters this week. They were doing more character building right as they are, you know, showcasing the characters right off the show. So we find out about Hunter and his mushroom fantasy.
Passion?
I
don't...
Passion, yeah. Fetish? That's kind of thing.
Yeah, a bit.
But also, you know, he's into videos about ecology, I guess, and things like that, because he and Fitz started to share something that, and then Coulson cut him off, you know, about saving the rainforest video or something along those lines.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting choice for them to kind of do the.
Well, they threw a bunch of stuff in just in this episode, I think, that gave you just a taste of places that these characters could go, you know, where they could start branching out. And even Hunter's feelings about spending more time with Bobby and not working, and how he felt about the mission, and how it kind of contradicted, I would say contradicted, what Bobby feels about her duties, you know?
Right.
And I think that's probably going to be a strong focus on their show.
It definitely does feel like a setup for that. And that was, if I have any criticisms about this particular episode, that would be it. That there was too much of an overtone of, hey, we're trying to set up another show. But as you pointed out, you've got Hunter and Bobby, you know, connecting on similar ideas about the mission and problems that they have, you know, disagreements they have about the mission. Hunter and May also have quite a spat, you know, a little argument about that, because Hunter's arguing about the fact that he would, you know, there was that line from May the other week about that they're not friends. And I think that really hurt him, because he feels that all of the team members he's worked with on S.H.I.E.L.D. are friends, and as he points out, he would take a bullet for any of them. And I'm just wondering, do you believe that from Hunter? Do you think he really would take a bullet for any of the S.H.I.E.L.D. team members, or is he a little bit more out for himself on this based on, you know, things we've seen in
No, I actually, you know, I thought a lot about this, and I really do think he would take a bullet for any person on the team. But I think he would do it for a different reason than, you know, Bobby and May or, you know, anybody that is one of those deep agents, you know. They would do it because it's their duty. It's their, it's part of the mission. It's, you know, whatever it takes. I think he would do it for anybody that doesn't deserve to get shot. I think he would take a bullet for anybody because it's the right thing to do, right? Mm. So when he says that, he's kind of selfish and crass and, you know, maybe not always a team player. But yeah,
he goes off book a lot.
Yeah, but he's a hero. You know, he does it for reasons that he believes are honorable and right. So when he says he'd take a bullet for anybody on the team, I think he would do that because they're the good guys. And that's
not just
why
because
he
took an oath to S.H.I.E.L.D. or
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. And whereas, you know, May, not that she wouldn't do it for that reason as well, but I think even in her mind, she believes that she's doing it because she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. She would do what she had to do. And I think she has shown that. When, you know, and that was one of the reasons they called her the cavalry, you know, because she had to make some really tough choices during that mission.
Right.
So,
in Bahrain. Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's an interesting way to look at that, too. Very cool.
And it also, you know, it makes him, okay, so him and Bobby have kind of differing views on that, but they're both doing it for the right reasons in their mind, you know what I mean? Which makes them both heroes, but they kind of contradict each other a little bit. And again, that's what makes them interesting and probably why they thought that they would do so well together on their own show.
Yeah. Well, it also, you know, there are many different ways to reach the same objective. Just because you're given a mission with certain parameters to, you know, accomplish an objective, and those are not necessarily the only parameters to achieve that objective. As evidenced by this particular episode, they had a mission, they completed the mission, but, you know, as it happens in spy shows and movies and stuff like that, not everything went as planned. And so, you know, it kind of showed the mettle of these two, of Hunter and Bobby, the fact that they, you know, we're both able to agree on something, having been in disagreement for, you know, the better part of the time they've been on the show since, what was that? I guess the beginning of season two, right? Was when they both showed up. And just thinking about how much Hunter's changed in that amount of time, too. He, you know, he's gone from just really being kind of a loner, lone wolf, outsider kind of character on the show to be an integral part of the team, even if, you know, those members of the team don't necessarily respect him, or I guess they might respect him and his abilities, but are not necessarily friends with him. And that's fine, because you don't necessarily have to be friends with everybody you work with, but you should trust them. And I think that's what he and May had been working out in this particular episode. So I'm glad we got some of those scenes. Also, the title Parting Shot. I mean, literally, they did parting shots at the end of the episode.
Yes, they did.
So that was pretty spot on right there.
Which could have come across really tacky, I guess, or something. Just might not have worked. But the way they did it, it was kind of a long scene for something like that. But it really worked, and it really kind of, without any words, it showed how each character really felt about Bobby and Hunter.
And Mac twice. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Mac was the pinnacle of the emotion in that episode. And he played it so well, just with the tears in his eyes and the longing looks. Not very subtle if you're, you know, a spy, but
right. Okay. So,
but that's okay.
you kind of touched on both things that I want to just talk about, with the end here. So as I said before, very emotional ending, and I found myself tearing up. You know, these are characters that I've really grown to enjoy, and anytime there's any kind of character that leaves any sort, any Whedon television series, there's always some emotion involved in it. And like you said, I think the way they staged it for filming was just brilliant. You got the sense of all these characters, and I could really feel the emotions from the actors as well. One of the interviews I read with Adrian Palicki said, you know, it wasn't too difficult to have to drag up these emotions to feel, because when you work on a TV show, it's like your family, and you know, everybody who is standing around as you're shooting these scenes, and you know, you're actually saying goodbye to the people that you work with as well. You know, it kind of is a twofold process for them. Mm-hmm. But also, as you pointed out, it could have been a little awkward. And there was, at the beginning of the sequence, as Bobby and Hunter are discussing where might they go, and you know, it's going to be a long time before anybody in the intelligence service, you know, trusts us, obviously, because I guess, you know, whether officially they have to be believed and stuff because they've been disavowed. You know, they don't actually exist on SHIELD's payroll, but I'm sure word gets around, right? I'm sure other people know kind of what's going on. They showed a guy who appeared to be like someone tailing them. You know, he's, at least they focused on him. That was the intent that I got with this character, was that
he was... Me too. Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, someone that was just watching them or keeping an eye on them. And then I can forgive putting each of the agents that buys the shots for Bobby and Hunter in spotlights. But basically, you know, it's a dark bar, but they kind of did single spots on all of the on May and on Coulson and Daisy and everybody like that. But I can forgive that. But it's the longing looks. Everybody, you know, is like staring at each other and raising their glasses. And it's like, even in a busy bar, you've got, you know, five people kind of surrounding these two sitting in the middle. If that one guy was any kind of secret agent, you know, I mean, I'm sure even the American intelligence service, probably a TSA agent, might even be able to figure out what was going on there.
Well, now I don't, you know, let's not go that far.
But that was my only, that was my one thing, because the scene was going on so long, you know, and I was like, I don't want to cry anymore. So I started thinking about other things. And that was what, you know, kind of came up in my head.
It stood out to me a little bit, but because of the emotion of the scene and the purpose, it didn't bother me at all. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. They just now left, so what's the big deal, even if that guy does see him? But
yeah,
she said, you know, it's a, what would she say, it's a spy goodbye or something like that.
Yes,
spy farewell, or you know,
right? So yeah, it was I don't know if that's a real thing or not, you know. I'll have to go
well, you wouldn't know. Yeah,
hang out at some bars and just see if people randomly start toasting bars each other,
like near the Pentagon or something like that.
There are plenty of bars here in DC, in the DC area. Yeah, I mean, and
some of them have got to have spies in it, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's probably called the FBI, the Federal Bar of Intoxication, or something like that. So,
if there's not one of those there, you need to open that now.
I should open that. Because, open that bad boy.
Yes, because you're going to start making money. That's good.
I'm going to make a note here. FBI. All right. Okay. So the structure of this episode was a little bit interesting. It's not something that hasn't been done. You know, you've got a lot of episodes that open, or stories, I guess, that open in the future, and you flashback, and you know, the flashback is a device that is used on any number of television shows. But I was wondering, with the kind of the infiltration and capture being told as a flashback, with the present time being the interrogation, how did that plot device work for you? What were your thoughts about seeing things unravel this way instead of maybe perhaps just linear in a linear fashion?
I actually really kind of liked it. At the very beginning, it was, I don't know what the word I want to use is. I don't want to say confusing because it wasn't quite confusing. I was figuring it out. You know, obviously they got captured. I don't want to say disjointed because I thought it kind of worked after a while. And that's what I think it was intended to do. You know, it was kind of like, it's like when you dump a puzzle out and all the pieces are kind of everywhere, but the longer you're working on it and look at it, they all start to fit together in the right way. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what this was. So the first time that Bobby and Hunter got, I guess, found, not captured so much, when they were, you know, in the forest looking down at the facility and yeah. they, the guards discovered them. I thought that was when they were going to get captured, but there was so much that happened in between that time and the time they really were put into interrogation that it really kind of worked for me. I actually liked that they did it like that instead of just linear.
You don't feel that it upset any of the potential suspense of what might happen to these characters fighting this inhuman?
No, because the suspense wasn't that there was going to be anything physical that happened to them more as much as, what's going to happen to them through this investigation, you know, and ultimately that was kind of what the climax was, you know, what's going to happen with Bobby and Hunter. So, and I mean, quite honestly, for the most part, you know, we're not really worried about our heroes dying most of the time on the shows. And when it does happen, it is pretty shocking, you know, like when they knocked off, what's his name? I feel bad that I can't even remember him. I liked him so much, but
oh, yeah,
last
we used
season,
to love him. Yeah.
When he touched the stone there, whatever when he was with Daisy back
Daisy
when she was
yeah,
Sky.
She changed.
Uh-huh. This is a great flashback, isn't it? See, this is why I don't do flashbacks. But, you know, if they'd started off saying, they'd all got out of there safe, then yeah, that would have taken away some of the suspense. Or if they'd started off looking at, you know, Hunter dead on a table or something like that, that might have taken it away. But I think because you still didn't know what was going to happen at the end, that they were going to be disavowed and not be part of the team anymore, you didn't know that was going to happen. So I don't think it really ruined the suspense of what that climax was.
Yeah, that's true.
But that was just me. Maybe not everybody agrees.
Agent Triplett, by the way, is the
Triplett. Yeah, that's exactly what you meant. See, I'm glad you know these things.
I didn't mind the flashback, the way that they told the thing that kind of, you know, just popped into my mind is the fact that we were seeing, you know, the now and then, whatever it was 34 hours previous, which I found interesting. Every time they went to a number of hours previous, it was always kind of just an odd number. It wasn't like usually they try to go in like, you know, 12 hours, 24, 36 or something like that. It was like, I think it was like a 17.
Yeah.
It was just,
did I write it down? No, I guess I didn't write it down.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. 34 hours, 26 minutes and 15 seconds earlier.
But we also saw a 3-month flash forward, two episodes ago. So, you know, they're kind of playing with time, which again is not something that is unheard of even in the comic books. A lot of time in comic books, you might get an entire issue that jumps ahead in time, or presents itself as a flashback. And it's not necessarily, like you said, it's not meant to, put you in a position where you are wondering if the characters survive or not, because obviously if it's a flashback and we're watching the characters do stuff now, it's obvious they did survive. What's interesting about it is how they get to that point, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting decision to go with that on this particular episode.
So as I mentioned earlier, this episode really serves as kind of a springboard, a soft pilot potentially for Marvel's Most Wanted, which is this new spinoff show that we've been hearing about. It's going to have Hunter and Bobby on it, and Dominic Fortune, played by Delroy Lindo, that's who's going to play him. As that is kind of known. Did that make the episode feel a little too contrived for you?
Well, I'm going to say no. I personally feel as if maybe they didn't have to go so extreme in getting these characters off. It was very sudden. But it kind of worked, I thought, as a good way of getting these two characters a series. And yes, kind of, because it was, you could tell that's what they were doing. These two are, maybe not everybody knows, but we know that they're getting their own little spinoff pilot series.
Yeah.
And that they're going to have to remove them from this show somehow, you know, with obviously without killing them, or otherwise that'd be a really boring spinoff. But
yeah, well, it gives us a clue about what the spinoff's going to be, because we didn't know if it was going to be, you know, telling older tales of them, right?
Right.
So
right.
Now we know it's, you know, moving forward, but there's definitely finality for them on this show. So.
Well, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. Almost too much for me. But so when you say contrived, that's a very, it's like a negative connotation, right? I mean, it's playing too much, but. For me, yes, I could tell that was the purpose of this episode, but on the other hand, I thought it was done very well, and it's also going to really change this series again, which it seems like this series goes through massive changes on a regular basis that really forces the writers to go in different directions, because you're taking two major players off of this series and two important agents for S.H.I.E.L.D. out of the mix.
Yeah.
That's really going to change things up.
I don't want it to.
I don't want it to either. I really like Bobby and Hunter both. Matter of fact, I think, I don't know if we talked about this last season, but how they were kind of revamping the team in season two after all the events from Captain America happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually preferred the new team members to what we started the series with. I thought they were more interesting. I thought they were more fun to watch, you know, and obviously, you know, most of them are all still there, but, I still think they're more interesting.
Mac alone, as we've discussed, is probably my favorite team member just because he doesn't have superpowers. He's not super smart. I mean, he's a very competent agent and, you know, he does his job and everything like that. And then he's just funny too.
He is funny. He's clever. He's fun to watch. He's a big guy, you know, but he's different than the others. You know, like when the episode where they revealed Yo-Yo, he was talking about some of his personal beliefs, and that's very different than, you know, what you typically see for the characters on this show. So
right.
I hope that they use him a little bit more. He got knocked out again in this episode.
That is true. That is true.
They could stop knocking him out. He's like the biggest guy. And maybe give him his axe back. I would really like to see him wielding his axe.
Do we need to start going through the concussion protocol with him?
That's actually probably in the real world. Yes, you would really need to do that.
Yeah, it's that never happens in the TV shows and movies and stuff like that. So, well, yeah, I don't feel that it was necessarily contrived, but it did, like I said at the beginning of our podcast here, it felt like a bottle episode. It was because I knew this series was coming. There were people that read the little, you know, 36 word, you know, preview for this episode teaser and said, oh, this is going to be an episode that completely sets up Marvel's Most Wanted. And I'm like, maybe. I think you're just reading into that. Well, obviously, they were not.
Right.
It but, totally I mean, fit into that.
But again, is there really anything wrong with that? I mean,
no. And they, like you said, they pulled it off well. This is a good example of a way to have to introduce a conceit for your new shows and remove the characters from the show that they're on so that they can be on this new show. And as we've seen in the little brief that tells us what Marvel's Most Wanted is going to be about, it's that Hunter and Bobby are basically on their own. They don't have anyone to count on except themselves. They don't have the ability to have S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, backing them, which, you know, when I read that, I'm like, wow, okay, so something is relatively dramatic is going to have to happen for these characters to not be able to call on S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, just because, you know, if they're out there doing their own work, well, of course, they just call S.H.I.E.L.D. if they need a problem. It's like when you're friends with, you know, Supergirl, right? And anytime anything happens, well, you just call Supergirl. And you know, why don't they just call Superman when Supergirl needs help? You know, because they talk about him so much on that show. But
she wants to do it herself. She wants to be her own hero. Come on, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm watching the show. And again, see, that's where things start to get a little contrived. But it was a really good and a fun episode to watch. And
I agree.
The fact that they put me through a number of different emotions with the show, that, you know, I think that's the goal of anyone doing, you know, movies or TV. You know, if you can make your audience feel things for your characters, I think that's a job well done. And so they definitely made me feel things for the characters in this particular episode. So that forgives a number of sins, in my opinion.
Yeah. So where do you think Bobby and Hunter are going to be going now? Are they going to just be like mercenaries or?
Yeah, they're going to go. I want to see them set. I would love to see them open up the first episode as kind of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Are you familiar with that
uh-huh.
movie?
Yep.
Where they're kind of living in suburbia, but like you say, maybe they're mercenaries. You know, they're kind of doing the, you know, they got the house and the picket fence and the minivan or something like that. But secretly, you know, they go out and, you know, steal things or, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine they'd be, you know, taking up contracts to kill people or anything like that, but, you know, doing
contracts to do other things to stop somebody or.
Right. Maybe bodyguard kind of behavior. Maybe they're with Dominic Fortune in there, they might be doing some kind of, Indiana Jones style stuff, adventure things where they have to go and, you know, steal a relic from somewhere or something like that.
Oh, could be. Or they have to infiltrate a country and steal the microfilm. Do they still do that? They still microfilm?
It might be a USB drive. That's what it would
be. Oh, okay. All right. So, there we go.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of discussion about the mission again, as the characters talked about. And some different opinions about how things were handled. And what I want to talk a little bit about is Bobby and Hunter, you know, basically they were having to call a number of initial plays for this. You know, they had to, they were the ones that on Coulson's orders, they followed Malik back to Russia. And obviously they had a little bit of a plan after that because they were able to tag the convoy and follow it back to this abandoned power plant. But then it was kind of up to Hunter and Bobby to, you know, to move in. And by the time they got there, we had Coulson began calling some of the shots, right? Because he showed up on scene. And his orders were to leave Malik alone, you know, just get intel, and they were going to be, I believe his order was basically protect the prime minister. Do you think Bobby and Hunter did the right thing? Because Hunter made some really good points for not letting Malik remain alive.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts about.
I mean, so you're asking if, Bobby and Hunter did the right thing in letting themselves kind of get caught and
not taking the fall in sticking to the main part of the mission and not going after Malik.
Well,
because Hunter, like he said, you know, he had him in his sights. Like, he could have taken him out, and it could have saved so much grief. Like, right, if he was the final head to Hydra, they could have dropped it down right there. Now, obviously, there's stuff going on that they don't know about because, as they pointed out, Ward's dead. They know Ward is dead, which he's not. But he is, but he's not.
Right, exactly. Right. But Coulson made a lot of good points too. I mean, Malik is a powerful and influential man, and killing him could cause bigger problems that are you know, long lasting problems, just by killing this one guy right then.
Okay, let's look at the way things worked out. So even though they did the right thing, they still got busted and had to be disavowed, right? So let's just go with that story. If they had killed Malik, of course they wouldn't have. They weren't planning on being disavowed. But if they had killed Malik, wouldn't possibly everything had played out exactly the same, and they still would have been disavowed and allowed to go on their own?
Possibly, yeah. But like you said, I mean, that wasn't the plan, you know, and I think ultimately Coulson always tries to do what's best for everybody and still hopefully the right thing. Just seems like he maybe could have gotten them out of there better to me. That was the one thing that kind of bugged me on that. They got they were in there doing their job and they were doing whatever they can, and then ultimately in order to stop this general from, you know, the Shadow and killing her team, she just had to walk right up and kill the general in front of everybody. She had no other choice, but it almost felt like, to me, they could have got out of there somehow better, you know? Maybe Daisy could have run, knocked everybody out, and then they ran. Or I don't know. That was the one thing that I kind of felt like they could have got out of there before they really got caught or before they found out who they were.
Right. I got a little confused by the whole, we've got this general who's the Inhuman who is going against the Prime Minister, and the general is aligned with like three other Russian dudes.
Well, it seemed like there was a faction, right? Like Anton Petrov, he was the guy that was at that summit last week, right?
So he was the one that brought Malik to Russia.
Right. And so it seems like there was this little faction in the Russian government that had a very strong feeling about what you should do with Inhumans or foreign humans or how to use them, you know, whatever their ultimate plan was. And the man in charge, the Russian Prime Minister, did not agree with that in any way whatsoever and was not going to allow them to do it. And so there was a little, you know, faction of people that were basically going to take the government over so they could do that. And still, I think, you know,
or at least do it in secret under the.
Well, yeah, but they were going to kill the Prime Minister.
Well, yeah, that was the plan there, right?
Yeah, so killing the Prime Minister and then, you know, putting somebody else in charge that did agree with them, and so they could go ahead and follow through with the plan. So they're not taking over the government; they're just, they're not changing the government, but they're putting people in charge that are with them. And Malik is a person who has that kind of power. He has that kind of influence and power that could, you know, help them do that, support it, and then follow through with what they wanted to do with the Inhumans.
Yeah. I guess it's not terribly important that we understand all the ins and outs of that. That seems more like just kind of the MacGuffin, the setup to, you know, allow the characters to do what they did in the episode and have the discussions they did. But,
And obviously it was for Malik. It seemed as if it was just a little bump in the road that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Quite like he wanted, but there will be other opportunities.
It was a dead
coming
end.
Our way.
Yes. I thought that the Shadow, character, he was very reminiscent of a comic book character to me, but actually a DC character, not a Marvel character, by the name of Shadow Thief, who is a, I believe he's a Hawkman villain, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, interesting.
Basically, you know, just a guy that is just a kind of a living shadow and, you know, has darkness powers, whatever that entails for the story that they need to tell, I guess. Malick also has kind of a twisted sense of American history. I'm not sure that he was proper student when he was in school. He seems to think that, well, you know, of course, the American government, if we hadn't made the reservations for the Native Americans, you know, they would have been completely wiped out. So we were good people there.
he says what he needs to say to get what he wants. That's what makes him a bad guy.
So, okay, then what about his daughter? Out of nowhere comes Malick's daughter, who seems to know everything that's going on. Very informed. She knows about his trip to Russia. She knows about the Inhumans. She knows about the Grant Ward creature.
Yeah, Hive.
Yeah.
So she knows about Hydra. She knows, she seems to know pretty much everything and perfectly comfortable with that. And this is the first we've seen of her.
Yeah. I was waiting for her to say something even more insidious, like as she shot the last, Skeet?
The Skeet. I guess. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The trap shooting or whatever. But, you know, she didn't. I mean, she was not saying anything that was.
Out of the, you know how they have those little, I don't know what you call those things at the end, the little teasers or the tags or whatever you call those
right,
scenes.
Epilogue, maybe?
Yeah. It didn't seem very strong, or I mean, it didn't reveal much, right?
But it still felt previous dramatic. Ones have, right?
Yeah, but it still felt like there was some sort of weird drama that I still don't know what it was about. Even as he was kissing her, they played that kind of climactic music at the end. I thought something was going to happen, like she was going to, you know, flash some sort of inhuman power or something like that. But
right.
I think, I think it's pretty clear, but she'll be very important as the season wears on here.
Well, I mean, she obviously knows, like, what Malick's plans are. I mean, because her last line is basically he, as in the Hive character, he's going to change the world. And, you know, you got Powers Booth going, that's my girl. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm intrigued by that, but it just seems a little out of place. We had a couple really strong episodes, then we had this kind of solo episode, like I said, where they Lincoln's not in it, Joey's not in it. We kind of have isolated ourselves to basically our core cast, which I think was an excellent job. Having any characters that were not the core characters in this would feel weird because, well, why wasn't that character saying goodbye to Bobby and Hunter? So I think it worked out well. But then you've got this kind of epilogue at the end that doesn't quite have the same punch as some of the other ones are. Next week's episode appears to be also kind of tangential. Based on the preview, so it may or may not be, but you know, we'll see.
Well, I think they need those little scenes at the end, even if it doesn't seem like it maybe fits. I think they need those little scenes to tie it together from week to week.
What about if it's Simmons? But I'm well,
that took me a second. Sorry. yes, it definitely Fitz or Simmons. It has to do those things. And if you're binge watching this, you know, later on Netflix or on your DVDs or Blu-rays, that's not going to seem out of place at all. It's just going to take you right into the next one and go, oh, well, who is that? Let's see. So,
that would be nice.
So I think it's okay. I mean, it did feel a little out of place, for this one episode, but this one episode connects with an entire season, and that's always on my mind, the whole overall arc.
So far, I've not had any problems with them introducing something and not really, you know, ignoring it, right? They always seem to come back. I'm sure there are probably a couple little mysteries of things that popped up that we may have just kind of forgotten that, you know, we don't know what they are. But I thought this was, you know, I'm going to go with them on this, and we'll see where we'll see what happens. You
yeah,
know?
I really want to know. See, it kind of intrigued me because I want to know who this lady was. And I mean, I know who she is. It's his daughter. But why is she important? Why are they bringing her in now? Why does she, you don't usually see that, you know, even with, Von Strucker, I don't, you know, his son didn't know everything. He was just a spoiled little brat and it right. thought he knew everything, you know, but in this case, I think she really does. So I think what'll end up happening is at some point by the end of this season, I think they'll off Gideon Malik and now his daughter is still around. To kind of take control. And so you got that ever presence of, you know, you cut that one head off and another pops up and she's good at skeet shooting too.
Yeah. So that's how it is in their family. Interesting. That's a, that's a really interesting idea. I didn't even think about that. So thanks for sharing. Well, we've got a few references from this episode. Couple things I thought were kind of interesting. First off, Bobby's code name in the opening sequence is Bird, and she in the while well, the team is Zephyr, and I thought that was pretty interesting because of course I don't think they've mentioned it ever in the show, but Bobby Morse in the comic books is Mockingbird, so I don't think. Am I right? They've never referred to her as Mockingbird.
I was trying to think. I almost think they may have done it the very first episode she was in. But I can't remember. That was a while ago.
Okay.
When she first came on, we didn't even know she was, on the good side, right?
She right.
She's like undercover.
Exactly. Undercover at the, Cybertech, I believe.
And I'm okay calling her Bobby because every time I hear Mockingbird, I can't help but think of Dumb and Dumber. So it really, they're hitchhiking and they start singing Mockingbird anyway.
Yeah,
don't
I just get.
That.
I don't think about that. I just get the James Taylor, Carole King song stuck in my
head.
Oh,
of course,
so.
Yeah,
And then they name dropped the Cocoon, which is the code name for a secret base that Nick Fury has in the comics, and that's where Lincoln is somewhere. He's in some place called the Cocoon, studying languages. And then the Inhuman General, his the shadow Muppet, as. As Hunter put it, I'm going to miss his humor. He's got some really funny things that he says. Appeared to be made of dark matter, which was the stuff that we were seeing all season in Agent Carter this year.
Mm.
So just some more things that, you know,
I thought they got rid of all that.
Together. They got rid of it all then, but, you know, the Inhumans, they're able to summon and use it, right? So, I mean, they have... probably ways that they can tap into it or something. Who knows?
Hmm.
All sorts of mysterious stuff going on. So, well, I'm going to raise my glass to Bobby and Hunter as we close out this week's episode of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And thank you guys for being on the show and giving us so much enjoyment. And we're looking forward to see what happens on Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yes, Donata. I'm pretty sure that's not Russian.
Yeah,
hey, you know what? If you guys enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. We love seeing that. And also, you can contact us. Send us an email, shield@randomchatter.com. Go to Twitter. Find us over there at Agents Podcast. Or you can visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out all the other shows that Josh and I host, including Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, all via the brand new randomchatter.com website, totally revamped for 2016 here. All shows are also available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends, raise a toast to us next time you're in a bar with a bunch of your friends. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7.
This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.